We turn this morning to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll read the first 13 verses. I suppose I could read the last three verses of chapter 11 too. We considered verse 28, as you know, a little while ago for the sermon on the occasion of the Lord's Supper, the celebration of the Lord's Supper. There's the call to them that labor and are heavy laden to come to Jesus for rest. And now it's in that context that he speaks of, we have this passage that speaks of the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees over the Sabbath day, which is the day of rest. We'll read the first 13 verses. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was and hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. As far as we read the Word of God this morning, may God bless the reading of His Word. It's on the basis of that passage in the whole of Scripture that we consider the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment, the law of God. The fourth commandment, which is the last commandment in the first table of the law, which instructs us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength by remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the question 103, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, will we enjoy rest today. Will you enjoy Sabbath rest today? The question is not, will you relax? There are many people in the world today who are relaxing and enjoying, I suppose you could say, physical rest, but they are not enjoying the spiritual rest of Sabbath. And even among us this morning, there may be some who are relaxing, even in this worship service, but that doesn't mean that they are enjoying spiritual Sabbath rest. Now the question too is not, do you need rest? I think every man, woman, young person, recognizing the weakness of man, his finite being, the weariness of life in this world, will say rest is needed. Nor is the question, do you want rest? Oh, if we would pose that question in a different way, you could come up with different answers. Do you want rest in God? There are many people who say no. The natural man wants nothing to do with the rest of God. But if you leave it general, do you want rest? I think the answer would be nearly universal of every man, woman, young person, and child. Yes, give me rest. I want rest. The question isn't either this morning, do you have faith? Faith is essential. Without faith in Jesus Christ, there's no rest. Jesus reveals that in Matthew chapter 11, and that call, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those who do not come to Jesus, those who are not given the faith, who are not therefore drawn by God, the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ, those who are lost in unbelief have no rest. They may relax physically, but spiritually and in their souls and in their hearts, they're restless. You have faith. You need faith. But the question for the man of faith, the woman of faith, the young person of faith, is not, do you have faith? But the question is, will you enjoy rest this morning and today? And I ask the question that way because we, notice I say we, not they, not other people, not people in the world, not people in the falling church, we need to understand that this matter of enjoying Sabbath day rest is not mechanical. It's not automatic. It's not something like this. It's Sunday today, so I went to church. It's Sunday today, so I didn't work in the office or in the workplace. I didn't busy myself with that work that I do on the other 6 days. It's Sunday today, so there are certain religious things that I did, and then maybe the emphasis is on this, there are other certain things that I didn't do. I kept this list of do's and don'ts. I have kept the Sabbath day, we might say. It's possible to do all of this, and even to have faith, doing all of this and not enjoy rest. Because if Sunday is just going through the motions for me or for you, we are not keeping the day holy. And we are not entering into the rest of God or of His Son, Jesus Christ. The question this morning is, will you enjoy rest by believing in God? Will you enjoy rest by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins? This is all very simple, very important, very practical. You know what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. But beloved, let's hear once again instruction from the Word of God in the light of Matthew 12 and from Lord's Day 38. What the Sabbath day is and what it means to keep the Sabbath day. So let's consider this morning the Sabbath day. First of all, the idea of it. Secondly, we will consider keeping it holy. And then thirdly, the blessing of keeping the Sabbath day holy. In order to get at the idea of the Sabbath day, we start with the question. It's a question that you may face yourself, but now suppose it's a question that you face from someone else. Someone who comes to you and says, I went to church today. Doesn't that mean that I've kept the Sabbath day holy? Someone comes to you and says, I didn't go to work today. Isn't that keeping the Sabbath day holy? And I didn't play golf. I didn't go to the beach. Well, now the weather's cold, so maybe he would say, I didn't play hockey and I didn't go snowmobiling. Have I kept the Sabbath day? And if that question sounds familiar to the 8th and the 9th graders, that's good. It should. We've covered this recently in Heidelberg Catechism class, and hopefully they have an answer ready. And they're ready to say, that's a wrong idea of the Sabbath day. That's a wrong idea of the Sabbath day, that the Sabbath day is all about doing certain religious things and not doing other earthly or carnal things. And that's what the essence of the Sabbath day is. I did this and I didn't do that. Hopefully, they're ready to say the right idea of the essence of the Sabbath day is that it's about God and His covenant. What is Sunday? Sunday is God and friendship with God. That's what God and His covenant means. What is Sunday? It shouldn't be in the mind of Christians. It's this day where we do these things and it's this day where we don't do these things. No, Sunday is God and friendship with God. If on Sunday there are things that we do that are good, that's good. There are fine things to do on Sunday. Being in church is one of them, to hear the preaching of the gospel. There are many other things we may not do. The fourth commandment does forbid certain things. There are other things that we shouldn't do. When we think with our sanctified wisdom from God, as we consider what are we going to do this day, what are we not going to do this day, there are certain things that we as Christians should say, that's not profitable, that's not what I'm going to be busy in this day. But if on Sunday we have not made the main thing God and His covenant, then we do not understand the essence of the Sabbath. It will not know what it means. It will not enjoy then either friendship with God and fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness of sins. And so, what's the idea? It's very simple. It's not new to you, but we need to grasp this. Sunday is about God and His covenant. God in friendship with Him as His people. This is very clear from the creation of the Sabbath day in the beginning. 6 days God rested, and on which day? The seventh day, or 6 days God labored, and the seventh day He rested. And even the little children recognize right away that number seven is significant. 6 plus 1, 6 the number of man, but 7, 6 plus 1, man with God. And there are even some scholars who think that to the Hebrews, the word Sabbath came to to mean seventh. And it referred to this pattern of 7-day weeks. And that meant that whenever a Hebrew speaker, a Jew in the Old Testament, said the word Sabbath, he didn't just think of a special day, a separate day, but he thought of that number, the covenant number, man with God, man fellowshipping with God, man in friendship with God. It's too bad that in English, Sunday or Sabbath don't necessarily just by themselves as words make us think seven, covenant number, man with God. But beloved, let's exercise ourselves to think that way. And let's teach our children to think that way too. When they hear Sunday, let's train them. Naturally, they're probably going to think, oh, that's the day where we dress up. That's the day when I have to wear my Sunday clothes. That's the day when I have to wear those clothes that aren't as comfortable as my other clothes, perhaps. That's the day when we have to go to church. That's the day when I don't get to play with my toys like I do the other days, perhaps. That's the day when mom and dad take naps. No, let's train them and train ourselves to think Sabbath is about God and man together in friendship and fellowship. But that word Sabbath in the Hebrew has as its main meaning to cease from work in order to rest. Or to fill that out a little bit more, it's not simply this: I worked for 6 days as an accountant, and then on Sunday, which is our Sabbath, I don't work as an accountant. But that word means to work 6 days, and then on the seventh day, rest in that work. So that the idea would be more like a man laboring to build a house. And then when the work of building the house is completed, he rests by living in the house, enjoying all of the features of the house, enjoying the life, the family life, that that house enables him to live with his children. That's the idea of the creation week. God worked for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he ceased from that work of creating. Not from all work. That is not what we learn from the pattern of the creation week, that God became inactive and did no work then on the seventh day. God was busy in this work of creating all things, heaven and on earth, for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested, enjoying, glorying in that beautiful work that he had accomplished in perfection for the glory of his name. And the idea of God creating the seventh day as the day of rest and showing us that pattern of 6 days creating, the seventh day ceasing from that work of creation to enjoy that work, to enter into the rest of that work, this is the rest now for man. And the idea is not that God now said to Adam and Eve, you work for 6 days in order to create the opportunity to rest on the seventh day. But even in the beginning, this was rest for man, a God-given rest. It was a gift to man to be able to rest in God and with God in a relationship with God, that one special day, but then also the rest of the 6 days of the week. So this is the idea of the Sabbath for man. Man enjoying rest with God that God has given him. But now, as we look at Luke 12, and the Heidelberg Catechism is showing us that too, we think of what's the idea of the Sabbath day. We think Sabbath, we think rest, rest in God. Rest that is a gift from God to man as the fruit of God's work, really. We also have to think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. What is that telling us? That is telling us that in the beginning, man had to be given rest From God as the creator, man was the creature who depended upon God and who received this relationship of rest and friendship from God. But now that friendship has been forfeited by man. There's no rest to man. Why? Because of sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to come and become the Lord of the Sabbath. And so again, what we see here is that there is rest for us as a gift from God because of God's work, not our work, God's work through the Lord Jesus Christ. Contemplate that for a moment. In eternity, God was at work in his decreeing all things. Decreeing especially the Lord Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. Decreeing that through Jesus Christ, he would save, he would redeem, he would glorify ultimately a church to be his people. There will be an eternal rest, God decreed, in which God and his people would live together in perfect harmony and peace and rest. That's the goal. And that's the ultimate Sabbath, the eternal Sabbath that the Heidelberg Catechism is pointing to you and me. What is the idea of Sabbath? Now, not Sabbath day, but the idea of Sabbath? The Heidelberg Catechism, when it says to us that we want to begin in this life the eternal Sabbath, is saying this is the idea. Heaven. Heaven. It's not going to be about a certain day when you put on your Sunday best. It's not going to be about a certain day where you don't engage in all of the other activities, work and play and earthly activities, and a certain day where you do certain religious things. The eternal Sabbath is unending fellowship and bliss with God in heaven. That's the idea of the Sabbath through, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest in God's eternal decree, but also in the work that the Lord has accomplished through Jesus Christ in time and in history. There is a gift of rest to us from God because God sent Jesus Christ into this world to be born of the Virgin Mary, to become a man like us. Jesus had to die on the cross to be raised from the dead. He had to do that to remove our sin, our guilt, which is the reason for restlessness in this world. The reason for the barrier between us and God. By removing our sin, our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us the right to rest. He has given to us the right to be delivered from restlessness. As long as we are in our sin, we cannot have friendship with God. We cannot have peace with Him, rest in Him. We must be restless. But Jesus Christ, delivering us from sin, has delivered us from that restlessness. And He's given us the right to have rest in God. He also sends forth His Spirit to draw to the Father, to give faith, to give life. He sends forth the gospel. The Heidelberg Catechism is showing us the importance of this, the maintenance of the Christian ministry for the preaching of the gospel. Jesus Christ sends forth the call through the preaching of the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give unto you rest. So this is the idea of the Sabbath. Not merely I go to church. Not merely I don't go to work. Not merely I don't go to ball games. I don't watch TV. I don't go on the boat. But the idea of the Sabbath is enjoying rest in the work of salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. But now the question is, what's the idea of the Sabbath day? In the fourth commandment, God commanded that one day in seven be kept holy. On that day, God said, set aside all your work. You, your manservant, your maidservant, your whole house. And that day God said, remember me. Keep that day holy. Now, in Matthew 12, we recognize that Jesus, his disciples, of course, with him, the Pharisees, they all accept the fourth commandment's requirement, one day in seven, be kept holy. That wasn't part of the controversy. And if anyone says, well, that was before Jesus' death and resurrection and Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit, we may point to the New Testament and we can show there's no controversy, no question here as far as the apostolic church was concerned. There's one day in seven that must be kept holy. The question is, which day now in the New Testament period is to be kept holy? And there too, there's no controversy in the apostolic church. The Lord Jesus Christ said he is the Lord of the Sabbath. This is the Lord's day. And the question that we ask, well, which day in the New Testament is the Lord's day? Which day has God declared, this is clearly the day of my Son? And the answer is, through the resurrection. Through God raising Jesus on the third day from the dead, God raised him up and declared him to be his Son with power. That's the Lord's day. Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, what's the importance of that for you and me? The Heidelberg Catechism speaks of the day of rest. And what we need to recognize this morning is that the special day of rest is connected with all of the other days so that they are mutually dependent upon each other. And we could really put it in either order. Let's start with Sunday. If you do not seek and enjoy rest by keeping this day holy on Sunday, you will not have any peace or rest in your 6 days of work. It will be labor and toil and misery. On the other hand, we can really, because these are interdependent, we can change the order and say, if for 6 days you live as an atheist, as if there's no God, you don't give any thought to God in all your working and all your playing for 6 days, and then expect to come to church, to the worship service on Sunday, and enjoy rest, there isn't going to be any. But positively, then, the idea is this. This day is set aside as holy and special. Not, and don't think this, because God says there's one day in seven in which you will enjoy my friendship. One day in seven in which you can know the forgiveness of sins. One day in seven in which you can taste heaven. No. The idea is that already now there's a sense in which the Sabbath rest for us as the people of God is perpetual. Even eternal. It begins in this life. And you may enjoy that rest on Monday, in the workplace, in your home, as you carry the rest of the Sabbath day into the rest of the week. That's the idea. God is saying you can go to work tomorrow knowing the forgiveness of sins. You can go to work tomorrow knowing that you are my friend and that you're part of my church and part of my kingdom. You can go to work tomorrow knowing that you're working for much more than just money and things. You can go to work tomorrow knowing that you're laboring on behalf of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You can go to work tomorrow knowing that you are working to support the maintenance of the ministry of the gospel, the seminary. You're working to maintain Christian schools. You're working to maintain the preaching of the gospel in the generations until the coming again of Jesus Christ. You're working on behalf of a kingdom that moth and rust do not corrupt. kingdom that is eternal. That's the idea of the Sabbath. Resting in God, beginning on Sunday, and then carrying that rest with us throughout the rest of the week. Now, we have to keep the day holy. This rest is given to us as a gift, but we do not automatically enter into or automatically enjoy that rest. And we learn what it means to keep this day holy from the controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees. Let me begin by reinforcing, I've mentioned it now already, but let me begin by reinforcing, to enjoy this rest, we must keep Sunday holy. Let the church not pay any heed to now not the world, but even to the apostate church, which treats more and more Sunday like any other day. Let us understand the seriousness of that sin. If it is true, and it is, that Sunday is the Lord's day, then not keeping Sunday as a special day to keep it holy is not just an unwise practice. After all, man needs rest, you know, one day in seven. It's contempt for the Lord Jesus Christ not to keep Sunday holy. To keep it holy means that we do keep one day of the week as the Sabbath day. Secondly, we must understand that Sunday is not about external obedience. This is one of the sins of the Pharisees. Maybe you could even pinpoint this as the main sin of the Pharisees. Now here in Matthew 12, we have to consider this account of what we read here, where the Pharisees come and they see Jesus and his disciples. They're walking on the Sabbath day, which was Saturday then. They're busy. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't sit and do nothing on the Sabbath day. In fact, he wore himself out every Sabbath day, busy in the service of God, preaching the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were finding out how wearying it was to follow Jesus on Sunday, to pursue him, to seek him. They're following him and they're hungry, which is natural, of course. And they come across a field of corn, begin picking the corn and eating it. They're doing something. They're working. And the Pharisees come. And according to the other gospel accounts, you get the impression that they argued with the disciples, first of all, telling them, you're doing that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day. And apparently, the disciples didn't listen to them, kept picking the corn and eating it. So the Pharisees, according to Matthew 12 here, went to Jesus Christ and made the charge against the disciples that they're Sabbath breakers, to Jesus. And implied in that Jesus also was a Sabbath breaker because he did not set his disciples straight. Basically, the Pharisees' argument is simple, straightforward to understand. They are working when the fourth commandment says, thou shalt not do any work. They're working and they're breaking the fourth commandment. They're breaking the Sabbath day. And so the Pharisees, here's their attitude. We are Sabbath keepers. You, Jesus, you and your disciples, you're Sabbath breakers. But they were not Sabbath keepers. Jesus exposes them for their external, empty, outward mindset for keeping the Sabbath day. He's saying to them and to the disciples, all right, you're not a Sabbath breaker like those people who treat the Sabbath day like another day. But you're not a Sabbath keeper. No. You Pharisees who do all these outward things, your Sabbath breakers. That's the word of God to me, to you too. If this day is only about external things, are you quick? Are you quick to think only about what you can and can't do on Sunday? And then let me add to that. That's the first symptom that you think Sabbath keeping is an external thing. But let me add to that. And are you quick to criticize others as you compare their Sunday Sabbath keeping with your own? Aha, that's how he prepares his meals? I would never do that much work. That's what he lets his children do between the services or after the evening service? I'd never let my children do that. I'm keeping the Sabbath day. He's not. Now, I'm not saying, and we'll come to that in a moment, there's license to do whatever we want on Sunday. But if that's our attitude to Sabbath keeping, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you're a Sabbath breaker, just as much as the people who treat Sunday like any other day. That's not Sabbath keeping. To understand what Sabbath keeping is and that it's spiritual, we need to understand. In verse 6, Jesus says that he's greater than the temple. Now, why does he say that? In order to lay his finger on the heart of what Sabbath keeping is about. Sabbath keeping for the Jews was about going to the temple, the house of God, the means of dwelling with God on the earth. Jesus is greater than the temple. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the one through whom we have fellowship with God. The Sabbath day is all about him. And here are the Pharisees. They don't love Jesus. They don't have any interest in Jesus. They hate and reject Jesus. So they don't know anything about keeping the Sabbath day because they don't look for fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And then look at what the disciples were doing. What were they doing? I already tipped my hand here a moment ago, but how many of you are thinking, well, this is what the disciples were doing. They're picking and eating corn. And then maybe you have the question that one elderly woman once had in a Bible study society. Why didn't those disciples pick corn on Saturday so that they'd have enough for Sunday? And you understand the premise of that question is there was something wrong with the disciples doing this. And that exposes how legalistic we can become and external we can become. And our ideas about Sabbath keeping, it's all about peeling potatoes on Saturday so you don't have to do it on Sunday. No. Don't look at just the eating, the picking and eating of corn. And now if you think back to what I said a moment ago, you know where I'm going. They were following Jesus. They were saying, today I want to be with Jesus. Today I want to hear Jesus. Today I want to be instructed by his word. I want to be filled with the knowledge of his saving work and his saving promises. Today I want to be with God through Jesus. Do you understand then? You may make Sunday a different day, but if it's only about doing outwardly religious things, you're not keeping the Sabbath day holy. You're breaking it just as much as the people who work on Sunday. It's spiritual. It's about seeking Jesus, hearing his word, hearing his promises, being filled with his love and his mercy, and through him, the fellowship of God. But then, let's make sure that we also see that there isn't a license to do whatever we want. In sort of maybe an ironic way, but I think it's true, the Pharisees made the day all about these external things, but in the end, it wasn't directed to God, it was directed to themselves. And that's always characteristic of legalism, isn't it? Making these rules for me to follow, to make me feel good about myself, to make me look better than those who aren't keeping these rules. And so, from a certain point of view, I don't think it was a burden to the Pharisees to have to follow all those rules. They reveled in it. It's what gave them notoriety. It's what got them the praise of men. That's why Jesus could say they have their reward. And so, in a certain sense, if you make Sunday all about what you're going to do and not going to do, you're making it too easy. And you're not doing the hard work of saying, I'm going to seek God. That's hard spiritual work. And so, let's not go to Matthew 12 today with a carnal attitude, because the carnal attitude is going to look at this and say, well, the disciples could pick corn. So now this gives us license to do all kinds of different works on Sunday. It gives us license maybe to be involved in all kinds of recreational activities as Christians. No. Jesus is not giving us permission for doing what we want, certainly not for seeking sin and continuing evil works, but not even for carnal pleasure that otherwise may not be sinful. Let me apply that to work. The fourth commandment doesn't give us an option, really. The fourth commandment says, on this day thou shalt not work. Now we understand, and we're going to cover that a little bit more, that there are activities, work that we perform on Sunday that is legitimate and God glorifying. But now, when it comes to not working today, if you didn't go to work today because you're saying to yourself, I could really use a day off, I really need some refreshment, that's not keeping the Sabbath day holy. Keeping the Sabbath day holy is, I took this day off of work so that I can enjoy this privilege God gives me to set aside all these distractions, all of these other things that are good and useful in themselves, so that I can concentrate on this day and spiritual things, holy activities. And then, when it comes to those matters where you say it's Christian liberty, that may be. What kind of recreation are you going to do on the Sabbath day? Maybe there is Christian liberty there, but the Christian's attitude is not, I'm going to fill my day with these things, going to the beach and on the boat and going to ball games, because the Christian says, this is not my day, it's the Lord's day. And so, the focus will not be, I'm not going to work today. The focus will not be on that, what we won't do today. And the focus won't be on merely external things. These are the things that we have to do. We have to go to church today and hear two sermons and read the Bible and pray more. But the focus will be spiritual. And the catechism points the way. We'll be busy supporting the maintenance of the Christian ministry and of the schools, frequenting the church of God, going to church not only once but twice on Sunday because it's another opportunity to hear Jesus, to be with Him, contributing to the relief of the poor because, Jesus points this out in Matthew 12, there's mercy that we may do acts of mercy on Sunday, because after all, we are looking at God and His great act of mercy that He shows to us, delivering us from our sin, and now we show that mercy unto others. Cease from evil works. Yield myself to the Lord to work by His Spirit in me. And so, how will we keep the Sabbath day? Will we take a nap in the afternoon? We might. Will we spend time in the kitchen cooking food? Probably will. Will we even go for a walk to stretch our legs to get the blood flowing? We might even do that. But these are all things that I might do or that you might do because we have this focus. I need to have the strength, the energy, the ability to think on, to meditate upon, to digest intellectually, spiritually, God's word, his promises, the reality of his friendship and covenant with me through Jesus Christ. So my goal won't be that nap or that food or that walk, but that goal will be to hear the sermon, to be in church and to be an active participant in every element of the worship. The goal will be maybe to rest a little while physically so that I'm ready to fellowship with God's people. That's hard work. To show an interest in their lives, to communicate with them, to find out what they need and to give them what they need if I am able. The goal is not just to rest, to eat, to relax, but to be able to try to get through an article of the Standard Bearer without falling asleep. Read another chapter in that spiritually edifying book so that when Sunday passes, I can say, I really did apply myself to being filled spiritually so that I can keep that with me the rest of the week. Beloved, this is what it means to be a Christian. The Heidelberg Catechism says that to us. This is what keeping the Lord's Day is as becomes a Christian. Are you a Christian? Then you will keep this day holy. You won't treat it like any other day. You won't be satisfied with only doing external things, but you will exert yourself. You'll say, to keep it holy means I have to work hard to make this a spiritual day. And you won't make the focus yourself, but the glory of God, thanksgiving to Him for His Son, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins and all the blessings of salvation through Him. And then, let me ask you, will you enjoy rest today? Will you enjoy the forgiveness of sins, the covenant of God, the life of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you and in your fellow saints? There's no rest, I say again, only restlessness for those who do not keep the Sabbath day. They may find warmth on a beach. They may find joy in a boat, but not the forgiveness that they need for their souls and the hope that they need for eternal life. They will have restlessness, no peace in their souls or in their minds. They who keep the Sabbath day enjoy this rest. But then I say to you, or maybe you say to me, we can't do this. I've never kept the Sabbath day holy, not perfectly. I've never even had the right standard. I even sometimes question whether I'm doing the right things or not doing the right things on the Sabbath day. Our standards are too low. Our efforts are too weak and imperfect. You and I do not have the ability, we say, to enter this rest. Well, remember, this rest is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. The fourth commandment doesn't come to you this morning and say, will you enjoy this rest? Well, then you must labor to earn the right to this rest from God. Rather, the fourth commandment comes to you and God says, I know you haven't ceased from all your evil works as you ought to with a perfect heart. I know that you don't come to church and listen to sermons with the attentiveness that you should with your minds and your heart. I know that too often You're carnal in your thinking on the Sabbath day. You are looking to please yourself and not me. I know that you don't have mercy towards your neighbor. You come to church sometimes and you're judging. That's what he's wearing. That's what she looks like. That's what they've been doing. God says, believe. Come to Jesus. Rest in the forgiveness of sins. And then say, even though I know I'll never be perfect, in seeking to maintain the preaching of the gospel, the Christian schools, never be perfect in my love and care for the neighbor, never be perfect in seeking to read spiritual literature on the Sabbath day. I'll never be perfect in any of this, but I'll keep trying. Believing and resting in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and enjoying that for his sake, God does bless me, my family, our congregation, with a taste of heaven. We do enjoy his friendship, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Amen. Father in heaven, bless us with the blessings of Jesus Christ from thy right hand. We know our sin is great. We know that this life is filled with toil and sorrow, the consequences of sin, and the circumstances of trouble are all around us. So speak to us by thy word and bless us as we this day seek our refuge in our rock, Jesus Christ, that we may have the knowledge that gives peace and rest in every circumstance. For when we know that thou art our help in the time of trouble, when we know that thou hast borne the storm of our sins for us through Jesus Christ, and that therefore everything else must be for our good, then we can have rest and peace. So bless us, Father. Renew us by thy Spirit that we may keep the whole of this day holy, not to earn, but to thank thee, and in that way enjoy thy rest. As thy friends, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing now Psalter number 52. Based on Psalm 23, we'll sing the four stanzas, Psalter number 52.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.